Liftoff will start in T-minus 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to ESA Explores. I hope you've been tuning into our earlier episodes, where we introduced you to some members of the ESA astronaut class of 2022. Because if you have, then you know what's coming now. Today, I'm super excited to have a chat with Rosemary Coogan, an astrophysicist selected as an ESA astronaut candidate. Oh, and by the way, if you hear us talking about ASCANS during the interview, that's just short for astronaut candidate. Originally from the UK, Rosemary joined us here at the European Astronaut Center in Cologne, Germany, in April 2023 to start with her basic training. All right, let's dive in now and meet Rosemary. I'm your host, Laura Zurmühlen, with Denzel Lorge on the sound desk, and this is ESA Explores. Hi, Rose. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks very much for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, really well. Thank you. How about you?
Good, good. Thank you. I heard you're just back from a little week of vacation, so you're relaxed and ready for the next sessions of training.
Yeah, definitely. I've had a really nice week off visiting friends and family, and yeah, just ready to get back into it now. You've got a nice few weeks coming up, I think, a few different topics coming up, so it should be really nice.
I guess since you came here to Germany, a lot of things have changed. And how are you feeling? How have the last past months been here for you?
It's been an amazing start. I've really enjoyed it. It's interesting. I, having thought about this moment for a long time, the idea of joining the team and arriving here, I thought about it an awful lot, but didn't have very many kind of strong expectations. So it's been, people often ask me, you know, have there been any big surprises? How has it been? And it's really just been, it's been fantastic. You feel so well supported here. And it's, you can really see the difference in a way between, you know, you really feel that the selection is over. Everybody here is doing absolutely everything to support the team, to support us both in the learning, in the classroom sessions, any questions for the instructors, and also on a personal level, having moved here and helping with the administration and things. It's been a really, really warm welcome and really interesting things in the classroom so far.
Is there anything that was the most interesting for you so far?
Oh, it's difficult. I have to say that the EVA training, I'm sure it's a very popular one, is getting really interesting at the moment because we've moved on from the more traditional diving to things that would more simulate a real EVA. So yeah, we're only moving our bodies in the ways that the space suits, EVA suits would allow us to do. From next week onwards, I think we'll be using the real equipment and the tools, imagining that we're repairing something on the space station, tethering ourselves correctly. So that's getting really nice now.
Because you don't, yeah, you don't go immediately with the spacesuits into the water. First, you just do normal diving.
Yeah, that's right. We had a few sessions of kind of normal diving with a tank on the back, and then we went to the SSDS system, which is the surface supply. So instead of having just instead of using the air on your back in your tank, you have a continuous supply from the surface. So theoretically, you can stay underwater for much longer without having to come back up for air and carry out potentially complex tasks like you would do in an EVA.
And is it very exhausting, or how is this training?
It is tiring, but it's a nice tired, right?
Yeah.
You can't complain. I do find myself more tired at the end of the day than I did in my previous job, but it's fantastic to have so many different topics coming. It keeps you really energized and motivated because actually every week or even every day you're doing something new and being very well looked after.
And also with the whole team, I guess it's a nice experience. So you have individual sessions and team sessions and with international partners as well, or is everything here at EAC?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we have, in terms of the learning, we have most of our learning is done all together, which is really nice, particularly in the classroom sessions. We'll have all of that together. But for things like diving or robotics, we go into smaller groups. So robotics is one-on-one. We've just started that this week, which is really nice, actually. We have a kind of a mock-up of the robotics workstation to control the arm as you would in Cupola. And some of it's done in VR as well, some of the teaching, which is fantastic to have this kind of 3D sense of something which is really 3D, and it's much nicer than learning on paper, for example.
Yeah.
But because of all of these things, we do those kind of one-on-one with the instructor. And we do have some trips also with international partners. So in December, we'll be going to Houston for the first time.
Oh, wow.
To see the center there with NASA and to meet some of the NASA ASCANs and the seasoned astronauts and see their facilities.
Yeah.
So it's a real mixture of, you know, most of it here for the basic training is based at EAC and in Europe, but definitely interaction with some of those international partners as well.
So you do travel quite a lot, would you say, or...?
Yeah, I would say we're traveling a fair bit. It all depends what you're used to. Of course, some of us come from backgrounds where, you know, they've been traveling all over the place for months and months at a time already. Some of us are slightly more settled. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I used to travel a fair amount as an astronomer to go to conferences, and my jobs would last a couple of years at a time. And then you'd move to a new country. But it's a kind of a different kind of traveling around. It's more a long term here than here than here than here.
Yeah.
Whereas for training, we're doing quite a lot of back and forth to the different facilities.
You just mentioned you have a background in astronomy. Do you learn a lot about astronomy here as well? Or do you see that things that you learned before are very helpful here for the training?
We have had an astronomy course here. It was a fair few sessions because astronomy, actually, I mean, it was a really nice course because we started off at the scale of the universe, so the largest possible scales, and they went down and down, and then we got to galaxies, and went a bit further down to the solar system, and eventually we ended up having a really close look at the planet. So it ended up being a very long, very nice course. And it finished just a couple of weeks ago with a trip to the planetarium in Bochum to really actually look at the night sky and particularly how that will look from space. So we got to see it without any kind of light pollution or the atmosphere. It was incredible. So many more stars than you imagine to see here or you can see even on a clear night. And some of that did overlap with what I'd done for my previous job, which is looking at galaxies and galaxy evolution. But a lot of that, you know, the Earth science and the local solar system and also the very, very kind of cosmology scales are kind of much more new ideas and things that I'd only touched upon as part of my job. So it's been a really nice mixture of that.
Yeah, it sounds super interesting. Do you also, I don't know, do you have a telescope at home and do you look at the stars also outside of work or not so much?
I do have a telescope at home and I have a balcony now which kind of faces a dark-ish patch of sky. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really hard in cities or towns to find anywhere to do it. So I'd really like to do it a lot more, actually. And I think what would be nice is particularly there are some really nice bits of countryside around the you know, between Cologne and Bonn, very near where we are now at work. And it'd be great to take the telescope out there and see how dark a sky we can find to look at the stars.
Yeah. Have you seen, they just published a few pictures, like the first Euclid images.
Yeah.
Have you followed that?
Yeah, they're really nice, aren't they?
Yeah. Euclid is the name of a space telescope mission by ESA, launched in July 2023. Its job is to take pictures of galaxies to help us understand how dark matter and dark energy have made our universe look like it does today. So Euclid is like a super camera, snapping billions of pictures of these galaxies to create a map of the universe and show us how it has changed and grown over time. In November 2023, right before I had this chat with Rosemary, we got to see the first colorful pictures that Euclid took of the universe.
It's a nice mixture. You've got the clusters, you've got the nebulas, you've got the different types of galaxies.
Yeah,
they are incredible. Because there was an image a couple of months ago, almost like a teaser image that came out. But these are the first full color images, if I understood correctly. And it's a really nice example of what's to come.
And looking up to future missions, is there anything you're most excited about?
I think, it's a great question. It's hard because almost every time I learn about something new, I decide that I'm incredibly excited about that as well, which is a wonderful position to be in, obviously. Yeah. I think what has kind of always excited me is the idea of going to the ISS and living in an environment where, although all the laws of physics are still there and they're very much functioning, they're behaving in completely different ways to how we experience them on Earth. So obviously the weightlessness you feel as a person, but also the behavior of everything around you being different. Be it, you know, the behavior of liquids, the way the human body will change. There's, you know, reports that food tastes different up there for some reason and wondering why all of these things happen. I mean, of course, that is the science that's being done on the ISS. But I think it will give a really new perspective to life on Earth and some of the things that we take for granted or some of the assumptions we make about, yeah, the way things are. And really, it's just that gravity here is an absolute constant and it's a whole new environment up there.
Out there. Do you think that would be also the most challenging thing for you once you are going to space, or is there anything else?
I think there'll be a fair few challenges. I suppose after a few days or weeks, I think we do adjust quite well to different environments. And I think that in terms of learning to live in microgravity, that will happen quite naturally. I think interestingly, it's almost a challenge the other way around when you come back and you have to readjust. Of course, in the same way, you do just readjust after a few days or a few weeks, from what I understand from my colleagues. But I think in a way, that's your expected when you get back. People have seen you on Earth before and you know how to behave. You remember not to drop pens in midair. I think that must be almost more challenging coming back to the whir of things and readjusting to normal life, as it were.
And looking to the future of space exploration, is there anything that you're particularly excited about technology-wise, or things that may develop in the next years?
Yeah, I mean, where to start? I think, obviously, very, very long term, we're looking to go into Mars, which is incredibly exciting to be exploring more of our solar system. But I think what I'm kind of most excited about, and which really will take some technological pushes as well, is the idea of having a base on the moon that we can stay in for a kind of a significant period of time, and having a base there to do the science and to explore more about ourselves and the technologies we're developing to be able to do that. I think, of course, we've been to the moon and that's incredibly exciting and it's great that we're going back. But I think having this idea of really living on the resources you have, the technology that will be required to create a base, whether it was going to be inflatable or something else. I mean, I think these things are very much still under discussion. We're quite a long way off from having this. But I think the idea of being able to stay there for a significant period of time, pushing it beyond just one EVA at a time and going back to the capsule, will be a huge landmark, actually.
So yeah, that sounds super interesting. And I'm also very excited to see how things will develop and when we'll finally go there. When you look back at your journey of becoming an astronaut candidate here, is there any anecdote or a moment in time where you can remember that's when I got interested in space and astronomy and maybe becoming an astronaut one day?
I don't actually, to be honest. I have to say, as I was going through my kind of later career at university, I was really interested in all of the sciences. And I eventually specialized in astronomy, and I don't particularly remember kind of what sent me that direction. But even though I was interested in all those different parts of science, biology and chemistry, and I've just always loved space. I hadn't necessarily at that point in time made the connection that my love of space could be then channeled into doing astrophysics and then, one day to being here. But I've just, as long as I can remember, I've always just thought it was fascinating as an entity. And who knows where it comes from?
And before your time at ESA or even now, do you have the chance to participate in any simulations or mock missions already? And are there any lessons you learned from that?
I haven't participated in any mock missions specifically designed for space, although I hear a lot about the Mars simulations or the living on Mars simulations and the Antarctic experiments that are going on, which people living in Antarctica for a long time. And I think those are absolutely fantastic. And I have so much admiration and appreciation for people doing this. I think it's incredibly important to understand the psychology of it. I've had experience with the Sea Cadets and as a Royal Naval Reserve, kind of from childhood to adulthood, working and living on ships for significant periods of time. So several weeks at a time, traveling around with a small crew, getting the work done, of course, steering the ship safely, navigating from point to point. And I think that kind of environment is the closest I've come. And I think it has got some really valuable lessons in there about how to work well with people when you are perhaps under stressful situations, perhaps not everything is going right on the ship, and you need to get the work done nonetheless, and of course, preserve the relationships between you and the rest of the crew and the team. And I think that throughout those years was a really useful preparation.
I can imagine. So you're changing the ship on land, not on land, on the sea, for a spaceship maybe one day.
Yeah.
But how was it then for you? When was the first time you've been away on a ship for a longer time?
It was at university that I started with the Naval Reserve. So I was a sea cadet for years before then, and I'd go away for several weeks at the summer, but we'd be on these kind of big training ships that are anchored in the sea, and we'd go out every day and learn first aid, for example, which we've come again back around to in basic training.
No, true. Yeah.
As well. So that was a nice thing to be able to repeat, or several water sports, sailing, things like that.
Yeah.
And then at university, when you're an adult, you can start to actually leave on your ship with the rest of the team. So about kind of 18 to 21, I did a few years doing that, just during the breaks between university, of course.
Yeah. So you're not getting seasick?
Well, not too bad, no.
You're prepared for parabolic flights. And,
I know the tactics to try and tackle it at the very least.
Yeah, because I heard from some of your colleagues that centrifuge training is also going to happen soon. So are you looking forward to that? Or
really looking forward to it, yeah.
To prepare astronauts for space travel, they do centrifuge training and also go on parabolic flights to get familiar with the physical conditions of a spaceflight. Centrifuge training is all about exposing astronauts to high G-forces, or gravitational forces. This is like a giant spinning machine that simulates the pressures felt during rocket launches and re-entry. On the other hand, parabolic flights help astronauts to get used to floating in space and the weightless environment up there. They are also great to conduct experiments and test new technology in conditions similar to those in space. During these flights, special planes follow a curved path to create moments of reduced gravity. Some even simulate the gravity levels of the Moon or Mars by adjusting the parabolas. Would you go for that?
It's one of the things that people ask about most. People say, oh, have you done the centrifuge yet? And have you done the parabolic flight yet? It's one of the big hits of the really hands-on, kind of physical, exciting parts of the training. And, you know, it will simulate how it feels to, you know, launch or re-enter in a space vehicle. So that is an incredibly thrilling idea, you know, particularly for myself. I haven't got a lot of experience in flying, like some of my colleagues who will have already experienced those Gs. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that will feel. Although we have been told that you mentioned seasickness, that it can be a little bit nauseating. So you'll have to ask us again when we come back when we found it.
I will have all of you here, and then you can report how it went. But yeah, but it sounds like the team dynamic and the group, that it's a very nice experience and a good group.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. I mean, of course, this would be a fantastic training course, you know, even just by oneself. But it's been so nice getting to know the rest of the team, both, you know, the ASCANs and the whole rest of the EAC team. There's, you know, 100 or so people working here. But learning with other people and being able to have these shared experiences and saying, oh, how did you find that? What did you think of this? I don't understand this. What did you think of that? And, you know, being able to lean on each other for support, and then also be able to celebrate kind of successes together. Like it's a hugely enjoyable.
And so people have very diverse backgrounds and also different nationalities, different languages. But all this together, it didn't create any culture shock for you?
No. No, but it's an interesting question, because I people often ask, you know, what do you think experiences are needed to be selected to train as an astronaut, things like that. And I think having international experience was definitely one of them, actually. And I've lived in a few different countries just as part of being a researcher. And I think that it is really valuable to live with people from different cultures, to realize that, yes, there are kind of cultural differences between different cultures. And that can be really lovely to be able to, we're talking about kind of sharing things and sharing experiences. That as well, you know, you can say, oh, usually, you know, here we do this, or we celebrate this, or this is a tradition on this day. And, you know, somebody brings in chocolate or what, and you say, oh, why today? And you say, oh, it's because this is happening in this country. And actually, it's, I think it's really, really enriching.
Yeah. I think everybody at ESA or here around is feeling a similar thing. So with all the internationals working together, which is really great. Yeah, maybe as a final question, Is there any message you could give our listeners or people who are inspired now by what you just told us and your stories and who maybe want to be working in the space sector as well or become an astronaut?
I would absolutely just say that anybody who's interested in the space sector should really go out there and find out what options there are and what they want to do and go for it. I think particularly, you know, we talk a lot about obviously being an astronaut, the training that we're doing right now, but there are so many different areas of space science. And I know that if I hadn't been selected to do this, I would have gone into perhaps carrying on in the research side of space science, or I was looking also into kind of mission control, spacecraft operations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many different things. And these are just the technical aspects. Of course, there are lots of, you know, communication aspects of this as well. That's really important for the space sector to be having these conversations. So I would absolutely just encourage everybody to go out there, see how many options there are and find out which one that they want to do. Because I really think there is something for everyone.
Space for all.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rose, for being here and talking to us and sharing your experiences.
No, thank you very much. It's been lovely to chat.
Well, if I'm not ready to take a closer look at our fascinating universe now, then when? And if you feel the same and want to learn more about Rosemary and our entire astronaut class of 2022, you can visit us on the ESA Exploration blog at blogs.esa.int/exploration. Connect with Rosemary on social media, where you can find her at astro_rosemary on X and astro.rosemary on Instagram. As always, you can also follow us on X at ESA Spaceflight using the hashtag ESA Explores. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share on your favorite podcast platform and also on ESA's YouTube channel to help us reach even more space fans out there. Stay tuned for our upcoming episode to hear more from our next guest and member of ESA's most recent astronaut class, where we dive into how the selection has changed the life of our Spanish aerospace engineer and Mars rover maestro. Thank you for listening to ESA Explores.